Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, back to the broadcast, podcast, the show. I am the one and only T. Anthony Bland, a.k.a. Whitebeard. So, it has been a whole complete year, I believe. If not, just a little over, or maybe just a little under a year, since the mic has been on, and since I have spoken to you. And believe me when I say, I miss this. I miss standing in the dark room, talking, or the lights on, and just speaking into the mic, and just talking to you guys, and just, that's it. It's right up there with me, getting in the car, traveling, and driving, and meeting people on the road. So, I wanted to wait until we had a brand new place to live and I can pull out the mic out of storage and set everything up and get a proper studio set up again, or at least a half-baked proper studio again like we had before. But I didn't want to wait too much longer. There have been so many things happened recently that have been on my mind. And every time I thought about putting the mic back on and doing another show, it always ended up being, well, what am I going to say? I had a few things to say. I had a couple of ways I wanted to redesign this entire thing. Since, as you guys know, before everything just went dark, TK was, you know, not really getting into it and not wanting to do things, a lot of other stuff. But she's been gone for about a year, off the mic, that is. And a lot of things have been going on, so maybe I can commandeer her into joining us again. But at present moment, I'm doing this because a lot of things happened in this past week, and I actually have a few minutes to sit down and talk to you, which I know is going to end up into a lot of minutes to talk to you. So that's it. We're back. So one of the first things I want to talk to you about is I quit my job. One I just started 4 months ago. We'll get into that into a little bit. I know this opening is really, really big. I got another piece I wanted to show, I want you to hear, because I just left the car. I just got back into the house, and I just left Hannah, and we had a discussion, and in the middle of it, like towards the end of it, I turned the mic on, and so you can hear just the tail end of just a few things that was happening in the atmosphere of where we were both working, and I'll tell you where it is. I will not tell you the company. That's not who I am, but I'll get to that in a minute. But first, yeah, there's a lot of different things that was going on, and that's not the reason why, but it's one of the reasons why I quit my job, and I'll have you listen to that in a second. Like, maybe, I guess, right now.
Very, very bigoted and very prejudiced. And I said, he spelled it S-A-E-S-S. A-Y. And I said, because he was previously talking about S-A, like, as in E-S-E. And I go, you spelled S-A wrong. I said, did you do that on purpose? And I could just tell he was lying when he said yes. And I just looked at his face and I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. And then sent that in the chat. That was a while ago. I'm just like, you don't even know. So you don't know how to spell essay, or the difference between the two. You don't know what a thesis is. You don't know that a cheeseburger has protein in it. You don't know not to mix chocolate protein powder with Sprite. So you also didn't know that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was a book. What do you know?
Not a lot. Tootsie Boy went bright. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how's that for an opening?
All right, well, there you have it. So, that is a bit of a lot of things. Just a few things. I had an old choir director once say that I forgot what she was relating to, but the point was you don't hack down the tree with just one hit. There's tiny little hacks that you keep chopping, chopping, chopping before the tree falls. And anybody who's done any sort of camping or overlanding and you needed to get your own firewood, then you know that you had to chop down something or go find some wood. It takes a bit. And if it's a bigger tree, the longer hacks that you take before the whole thing falls. So basically, there were a lot of hacks at the base of this tree that made me decide to do something that may not have been too bright. And by the time all this is over, I'll just say it out right now, not as a disclaimer, but I wouldn't encourage anybody to do anything that I've actually done in my life, because my life is my life. Your life and your situation is totally different. Now, you may be in a situation where you can go ahead and jump ship or something else like that, or maybe it's at the point where, you know what, you're just going to lose it or you're depressed or something like that. You know what? I can't tell you what to do except for whatever brings you a little bit of that peace. I guess I'll go with that. Call the disclaimer or something else. I don't know. So before I launch into that, So, why did I leave my job? I guess that's the big thing, right? Although I'm looking at this news clip right now and just thinking about Mitch McConnell a few weeks ago. I know I'm a little late to the party, but like I just said, I had a few minutes today. I had a few minutes today in between a lot of things I was doing this week. This is the first week without working, and so I was just looking at stuff. Mitch McConnell, Biden term limits and Fetterman, all these different things. I hope I can remember them, and then I'll get back to you on that. I'm gonna use that word. I'll circle back. I'm gonna circle back to that. So, all right. Let's start from the beginning. In December of last year, possibly before we did or after, I don't think we did a podcast before that, saying that we were going to do. She's 20, so now you get to know her name. Hannah and I left the Bronx, New York. It had gotten to the point, over the past couple of years, maybe 2021, 2020, maybe at the end of 2020 or beginning of 21, I had finally crashed. There was too many things happening too many times in the past couple of years in my life, and as I've been learning throughout my entire life. So I really slipped into a 2 year like depression to the point where it was a low grade, long term. I forgot what one of the therapists said. So basically, it's like every single day. Every day for me was digging out of a hole just to find out I was in a deeper hole and couldn't get out. I've been threatening to leave New York and wanted to leave for a while. You guys already know if you've been listening to this podcast early and long enough. And if you haven't, I lost my wife in 2016. We had 19 years of marriage together. We raised six children together. She had two, I had two, the last two we had together. So there was that. So there's a lot of different family dynamics happening in that. So after 19 years, my wife died shortly, what, 5 days after coming home from a knee operation she had for a knee replacement operation. I'm not going to get to that whole thing. You can read about it at tanthonybland.com. Go over there, look at the earlier from go back to 2016, and you'll see I was writing so much that year just to get out of that whole process in my brain. So it was a very long process. And about a couple of months later, almost a year later, the kid and I, we went to the store and we brought the puddle jumper, a 2014 Nissan Murano. And that was the beginning of a long journey of healing for me, of being able to get out and go and do things. And that's when we started the podcast. I always wanted to be in broadcast radio. And I wanted to do movies and then later on direct things and wanted to be in radio and stuff. So this has been something I've wanted to do my entire life. Although my life has always been a little nuts. So We had already been hiking for a while, and then 2020 happened and everything shut down. And we were already doing some other stuff, and I was like, you know what, this is a good time. So that's when the first time we turned on the mic in 2020. And it was called the, what was it? The Whitebeard and TK Adventures. And shortly after that, it turned into the Whitebeard and TK Podcasts. I think maybe our second season we went into that because the whole thing was talking about adventure traveling, hiking, camping. But then I found that we talk about a lot of different things while we're traveling in the car. So hang in there, guys. I know for some of you are like, well, okay, get to the point. And some of you older people, some of our older listeners are like, okay, get to the point. Well, the reason is you got to tell a little bit of background story for those folks who have not been here before and just finding me for the first time, finding us for the first time. So be patient. It's coming. So we talked a lot in the car and found that there was a lot of solace in driving, which always reminded me, and I always say this and I've always said this, I feel closer to my wife and I feel her more, and more memories flood when I'm on the road, and I feel more comfortable on the road. Any day of the week, I feel so much better, more comfortable driving than I feel being stationary somewhere, especially being stationary for a long time, for long periods. I think I've always been like that, and that's probably a reason why when I was younger, I jumped from job to job to job. That could be a possibility. Who knows? We're not going to psychoanalyze that nonsense right now. So we turned on the On. So when we turned the mic on, it was like, okay, we do adventures, but we talk about this other stuff. So we started to change the format. We've been changing the format since the beginning of the whole thing. So change the format to just being about the stuff that we talk about all the time in the car, whether it's politics or something else. And I had just left the job the year before 2019, where I literally was working in politics. I worked for the Board of Elections, and I was in the office for about 4 years. I worked there for a couple of years. And I said my last 2 years, I was actually in, no, I was in office for my last 3 years there. But the last 2 years was in more of an operation office where we prepared things for election day and a lot of other stuff. So that's that. So I was just out of that. I was always fascinated with politics since my last year in school, in grad school. And so I applied for a Senate job, didn't get it. A few weeks later, my wife said, you know, you always want to write, so just write. So I did, and I wrote a book. I put all my final papers, which were liter I was a literary ma ma literature major and minored in psych. And my master's is in communication. So I wrote that. Then a year later, an opening happened at the Board of Elections. I'm like, okay, well, I can get in here this way. And so I worked for the city for the Board of Election, but I would rather have worked for the Fed or the state. And so I did a lot of different things working with the local political party. If you're new to here, this is probably the part where you're going to turn off because I have been a conservative for most of my adult life since my 20s. As far as voting go, I was voting conservative at one point before I, you know, voted before I joined the political party of the Republicans. And so when I got into the job, I came in as a rep. So with Dems and rep, we pretty much split like the government. You had half the people had to be Republicans and the other half had to be Democrats. So that's how that was. So I came from that world. So talking about that, talking about what was in the news, what was current, what was going on, is something that wasn't new to me. And so my daughter also liked watching TV shows. She got me into doing watching a few things right now, where you're watching people's fans' reactions to certain shows. And so later on, we started doing reviews, book reviews. What else did we do? Audiobook reviews. and movie and television reviews, which I used to write reviews for a little bit. I had a little blog site years ago, Hub Pages, something like that, I think it was called. So none of this was new, but our show became this eclectic group of things that we did. So I don't think we ever had one particular audience, and we don't talk about certain things that so many other people are talking about that you would get a large following. So that's enough of that background. And so the podcast has changed over the time. And so today, going back to how to podcast, how the show began. It started out with a phone in a box. Then my son said, put some towels in there. So the phone was in the box. And then the box got bigger. Then I got some soundproofing in the box. Then the box got really big. Then I got a really great mic, so I wasn't just using the phone. Guess what we're doing today, guys? We're right back to the phone inside a box. This is a tiny little box for a titanium cook pot that I brought. We're going backpacking this weekend. So I got a titanium cook pot, and it's inside the box with a little tiny baby towel. So there it is. Cheap parlor tricks just to get something off my mind and to speak to you guys once again. Yeah, titanium. I actually walked into REI not to buy this, but I brought some wool base layers, and it was so itchy I had to return them. And then I took the money and brought this cook pot I was watching, I've been looking at for a couple of years. And so we're going to use this. We're going to be using some of this, and that's going to end up on the YouTube channel in the future. So, and later on, we started a YouTube channel, which became start out as the Whitebeard and TK Adventures. But then we were trying to change the name to something else, and then it ended up being the Whitebeard and TK Experience, partly because TK decided she wanted to keep it. The kid who became TK over the years, because she wanted to keep it. The other part was because I kept thinking of Jimi Hendrix, his album, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, which was going to be, it wasn't just going to be outdoors, but you're going to get the whole experience, try to have you see things through our, through the way we see things, so that you would jump in the back seat and take a ride with us, blah, 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 is our tagline, which I actually got the tagline from the podcast. Because the podcast was supposed to be built so that you would hear us having a conversation as if you were in the back of the car driving with us. So the tagline on the YouTube show is jump in the back seat and take a ride with us, which is hilarious. So, I know you've been waiting. That went 10 minutes longer than I expected, but that's the background. Let's get into the meat of why you actually came on here, because this is not clickbait. So, we moved here. We left in December. We got here December 4th of 2022. So we've been around here now for about 8 months. The first couple of months, I thought that we would get an apartment right away. I wanted a house. We came down here with possibly enough money to put a down payment on one. Tried to get a job, but you couldn't get a job because you need to have an address. You need to have a license. I couldn't get my license because my license is up in the air, because on my way of driving down here that night, I caught a speeding ticket, but I was doing way over a limit, and I was in Virginia. If any of you have ever gone to Virginia and was speeding, you know what Virginia is like. So I ended up needing to go to court, which I had to get a lawyer because I couldn't go all the way back over there, and my license was in jeopardy, and so was my freedom of being able to walk on the earth. So the first thing the lawyer said was, don't appear in court because they can lock you up. First thing I thought was, I just got here. We have one car, one driver. I can't go to prison and leave my daughter. That's not happening. So I had to take a couple of classes online, which I passed. What do you call that? The driving, whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. So once that was clear, and that came in March, I was able to now register my car. But in order to register the car, you had to have a residence to do some other stuff. And then there was a whole thing about health insurance, which I still don't have, and all the medications I was supposed to be taking. So it's been a long 8 months. Since that time, I've been waiting to turn this mic back on. And since that time, we've been trying to figure out how we're going to live. We're just burning through what little savings we had, and we're still sitting inside of a hotel. But and the prices of apartments down here have just skyrocketed. They dropped down in December, then they shot back up in May, and they've been steadily going up since we've gotten here. So I said, okay, it's time to find some jobs, but how are we going to get a job? So we got a post office box and all this other good stuff. So we finally started looking for a job. I said, let's go apply for something at the same place. One of my middle girls said, you can't work at the same job. And I didn't say anything to her, but I know if she's listening to us, there you go. We did end up. This is not like New York City. People down here are car dependent, and there are a lot of people who are depending on someone to drop them off somewhere. There are a lot of people who work, family members who work at the same spot. So I wanted to go to Home Depot, but the only thing they had was lifting boxes. And I'm like, my body's falling apart. I can't go lifting boxes. I just rejoined the gym to get my strength back together. I'm pushing 60, and then bang, just like that, I turned 60 in May. And my daughter turned 20 in March. And they also wanted me to work on Sunday, and we just found a school, a church. I'm like, I don't feel like doing this right now. No. I turned them down. It was $16 an hour. The reason why I'm telling you this is because this is very important, so pay attention. On the way to doing that, Hannah put in her application. I said, okay, just wait a second, because she was supposed to answer back, and I was busy on the website trying to do that and secure the next room we were going to be in. And so she waited maybe a couple of days too late, and they didn't answer, so she didn't get the job, but I got the interview and I got the job. So once I got in there, I started pitching her up. Well, my daughter's looking for this and everything else. The lady hired me right on the spot. As we drive, there's a couple of, we didn't know there was a couple of, we only knew of one. This company called, There's this company, and it's right next door to the hotel area where we're at. And it's a call center. Across the street is another call center. We didn't know that's what that was. So my daughter goes in, and she applies. She gets an interview, goes back the next day, gets hired for the job, and say, you probably like it here. They play games. I went, I don't know about playing no games. That's for them new kids who don't know how to get the job and work the job. So what did I do? I applied, walked in there, took the job, and got in there the next week. So we started our training May 8th, the day after my 60th birthday. I had just come back from camping. We had just become official members in the church we were at. And so that's where I worked at until this week. I kind of quit a month ago, and I just stayed there. It was in my brain. It was in my heart. Friday, I didn't go in last Friday, and I just said, I'm going to go. I'm like, I'm not going in. And then I just sat there. I don't know what else to do. So I went on a small hike by myself, and it became clear to me, just go. Just leave the job. I don't know where the next job's going to come from. I don't know where the money's going to come from. But there were a lot of reasons for this. Now, I don't know if this is going to shut off on me or not. But since we're hitting about the 20-minute mark, let me stop here so that this mic can continue to roll on. The interview went nice. I sat with a nice young lady who had just moved here a few years ago with her husband, and she showed me around, and as I went through the office, it looked a little dingy. The people who were sitting at the desk at these computers, some were older than I, others were younger. And just by appearance alone, if any of them are listening to, well, I'm not, you know what? You, if you don't know the rules of this show, this is my show. I know they got community, whatever it is, and I know the internet trying to shut people down. But listen, the education levels from what I could see, the appearance were, yeah, it was varied. Economic levels were, a lot of the people who were working there probably were, didn't have much. And so I'm like, okay, so this is a type of place where you can hire anybody, or right? So I went past the cornhole. They were playing the game cornhole. And when you get your tours, I'll explain some of that a little bit later. You get your tour and you get up and you put your name on the board and you add up all the points from cornhole. There's some other couple of games, keep away out of my box or some other stuff like that. There were a few games. So then went over and showed me the other people, showed me the training room where I was going to be at. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know about this. I don't know if you guys remember way back, at least 20 years ago, Xbox used to have the show. And I forgot that guy who used to be on the show. He had gray hair. And he had the show where the Xbox office, where they had basketball and all this other stuff, because this was the young crowd, right? You know, Google was doing it, which basically Google has a slave farm, and they bring in all the chefs and everything else, and they got the daycare, they got a laundromat, and basically what Google is saying is, you ain't ever leaving. So Xbox kind of had that, you know, they had their studios, they had the other things, they had their personalities who would do the Xbox shows with the unboxing and stuff. So it kind of reminded me of that, but in a low budget spot. There was none of that other things. It just had, you know, or a cheap game they got, which came from Sirius XM, who used to be one of the companies they worked for. So we go to training, and I'm in training, and the guy said, you know, 4 days you're going to be outside. I'm like, what? I haven't even gotten to the whole thing. So when you're doing this type of thing of calling, and many of you have been victims of it, as I have been, and I still, even gone through this, still don't have patience for the people on the phone trying to sell me something I don't want. I still basically do. And my first couple of months there, I was getting people on the phone who were just like me. Can you just tell me what it is? Can you just tell me how much it is? How many days a week? And I very, very much appreciated that. Now, the bosses and the client for which we were selling this stuff for, I guess I can actually tell the client's name, but, you know, anybody who look up that may actually know the name of the company we work for. So, I don't know, maybe I'll divulge that information, I don't know. They didn't like that because I didn't stick to the script. Now, I said from the beginning in the training, I can't read a script and talk on the phone at the same time because I have to look at two different screens. And one screen has the caller's information and all the input of the information you need to put in there, their name, their phone number, email, and then their kid's name and kid's first name and the kid's birth date so that you can see what class they're going to be in. I'll explain all that like the tours in a moment. So, and then the other screen is this, and they're pretty big screens. So the other screens, and I wear reading glasses because, yeah. And the other screen has the script. Now, the script isn't like some small little paragraph. It expands across the entire monitor. So you have to read all the way across, go all the way back over. Some of you may be old enough to remember typewriters, right? You had to type the thing, and you push the arm back, and the typewriter goes back. That's what it felt like reading. And I'm trying to read the script, talk to the person, so I'm stumbling over, then I got to click a button to turn the page and to go over the other thing, and to click another button, then type in their information. I'm like, man, that's too much happening right now. And I didn't have enough time to actually read the stuff. In the area we worked in, because there's another, like this other group, the other half of that whole room we worked on, or the floor they call it, the other half worked with this company called HomeServe. And so they did like home insurance things for, you know, your water, your gutter, and other stuff like that. Now on that side, they always had incoming calls. So every time they put on the headset, people had to come in. They couldn't really get up. So they always had incoming stuff. Ours was incoming and outgoing phone calls. So anyway, back to the point of what bugged me And it was called a clean desk. So we couldn't have notes or anything else. To the other side, they was writing down stuff when they needed to. So where we were, it was supposed to be a clean desk. So you couldn't write down any information. So I didn't have access to a pen and paper. So if I had a thought, I couldn't write it down. That becomes a problem later. We'll get into that a little bit later, if I remember. Because I have to still tell you about the tours and why I need children's information. So you probably figured it out. So I didn't have access to a paper and pen. And so it wasn't like I can write down some notes and have that and look at that. Hannah did for a little bit, but then you had to get rid of it. And I didn't have the script. It wasn't until months later a person gave me pieces of the script and I was supposed to read it. But I'm like, okay, I need time to actually read this, then come in and do this on the phone. Because even with it on a piece of paper in front of me, which is closer than me trying to burn my eyes out trying to read the screen, I still have to flip the paper. And still the same thing happens. That's an interruption of me and my thoughts trying to talk to you, and it doesn't come off, I was about to say authentic. Nothing about someone calling you on the phone is authentic. It's always a script. So that from the beginning was my problem. So I would read through the things, I got what I was supposed to, and then there's a description when you get to the parent that you're supposed to read. Well, I forgot to read the disclaimer, and that was the first flag on a play for me that I got hit for. You need to read the disclaimer and say, what is it? I should remember since I said it so much every daggone day. The prices that I have for you are current as of today. We want you to be aware that the prices can vary based on the actual programs that you choose. Please be, for any other questions concerning enrollment or tuitions, please discuss that with the director. Almost everything that ended with every line that we said was, that's a great question for the director. And you directed them to the director. You as a parent would be just as angry as I am telling you, and I have been on the phone with people like that. Well, why don't you just tell me? Or connect me to X, Y, and Z, which is basically how I do it. I like to cut out the middleman and get to do what I need to do. I'm not really feeling all the other stuff. So that was the first part for me. I'm like, this is not going to work for me. I have to keep doing this. And it would be a massive flood on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. By the time Thursday came, no people were picking up the phone. So now I can tell you what the whole thing was about. So that's a setup of why I had problems with what was going on as far as talking to the people on the phone. So we finished the training in 1 week. They sent us outside. On that Thursday, we graduated from the training from that first week, and everybody had to stand in front of a whole group of people. We had the largest group of 8. And so we had to introduce ourselves and say things. And so Hannah, of course, said something that was funny. And then we were sitting in the back. The next week, we got new seats, which put us somewhere in the middle. So we were literally in between both sections. I'll call it the daycare client section where we were and where we were calling. And then from that home serve group over there, which isn't my company. That was a company that they worked for, was HomeServe. The company we were working for, what was it called? The Learning Care Group. That was a group. The Learning Care Group, took me out 3 weeks ago. Who the heck are these people that I'm pitching for? I go look up. The Learning Care Group is a financial group of people who put together whatever it was. They decided to put the, I won't say conglomerate, a group of daycare centers. Some they brought, some buildings they brought, and some they put up all by themselves. It's all across the United States. There are some in Brooklyn, New York. There are a lot out in Queens, Long Island. So we have all that. And so Our calling center is a middleman. They've been around since 60-something. They just changed their name to the most ridiculous name that I can't even tell you, and it was too stupid for me to remember. And they're not going to roll out the whole name into 2 months from now. And the colors are... I'm just sitting there going, this is the most ridiculous name that means absolutely nothing. Which brings you back to the reason, one of the reasons why I quit. So, we're in this place. We're middleman. We make the phone calls for particular companies. So, look, their client is the Learning Care Center. And the Learning Care Center have at least, I want to say, at the very least, 8 different child care facilities all across the United States. And any of you Texans listening, God bless you. I love you. You were some of the most beautiful people and most wonderful people I have ever spoken to on the phone. But you can always count on the Californians to be a... Man, the privilege that some of these people would talk to you is like, if I could reach to this phone and slap the taste out your mouth, I really, really would do it. It's like the coastal, you know, Florida was okay. But you start getting over there like in Pennsylvania, but definitely always California people always had these issues. When you get to the Southwest, the Midwest, they were lovely. So that's who their client was. And so we made calls on their behalf. Now, because New York and New Jersey is set up the way it is, you always had to say the client's name before you said who you were and the school's name that you're calling for. It was crazy, like saying, you know, hi, my name is T. Anthony. I'm calling from, let's go with Learning Care Group. I'm calling from Learning Care Group on behalf of XYZ Daycare. That's a lot. Well, the beginning of that script is, hi, my name is blank, 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 blank. And if you hit New York or New Jersey, you got to go through the whole thing and go, no, you go, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm so glad that I've reached you. Then you can launch into all the different things. You know how many people hung up on me before I even got in there? So I started flipping around and say, hi, I'm calling from XYZ. My name is so-and-so. And this is a recorded line. Because you always have to say this is a recorded line. I much rather the people when you call up, this call is being recorded for training purposes. I would rather that than the one that we had to say. So it took a few weeks after going through all of that for me to start to see, you know, when parents are like, what? Well, what does that mean? And then I have to say, you know, oh, that's a great question to ask the director when you take your private tour. Now, I ain't sound as foolish as I do right now, because... if any of you know I can't fake an emotion. You will see it on my face if I just can't stand you or something else. I can't fake it. I really wish that I could. So, had to get up and turn my beans off. I'm making refried beans for burrito dinner and probably take with us backpacking. So, that was it. So it got to the point where I'm talking on the phone and I have to read the description. Well, you didn't read the description of the school. You need to read them. Okay, so I read the description of the school and I'm reading. I'll think of something in my head. This is a great environment for the terrific twos. They will be able to reach out and touch the world around. That's not what to say. They'll be able to go. And they can, we have program where they will, what is it? We get to explore the world, something like that. Something where you can explore the world and everyone around them. And we're also here when you need us. It took me like 2 weeks to go, what the heck? I said, does anybody else read the description and realize that the description is saying absolutely nothing? Y'all know Hannah a little too smart, right? Yeah. She said, yeah. And so it was just the two of us. Nobody else cared. No one else noticed. So we had a direct supervisor. And so when I had to get the little monitor, they listened to your phone calls and talked to you. He was saying something to me. So what do you think? I'm like, I don't know, but y'all need somebody else to write this description. Like, I would need, I'm like, does anybody read them? Like, this, it says nothing about the school. Yeah, I know, but you know, just read that and don't forget that you're supposed to do the disclaimer because you haven't been doing the disclaimer. So we go to week 3 and 4, and I'm reading this, and it starts to really annoy me that I'm reading something to these parents, and it says absolutely zero about the school. The first thing I said to these people was like, okay, well, I'll read this, but I'm not lying. And I'm not deceiving anybody. And I said that because the first thing they told us was that we can't or don't tell the parent about the half-time prices, only give them full-time prices. And so in the script, it says, well, we don't have that information. At the bottom of the screen, I'm looking at the information. I'm like, Jesus, how are we going to do this? Because I'm not lying. Anybody ever asked me, I could tell you right now, prospective clients or job people who may be listening to this, if you found me, listen, let me tell you something. I am not a team player. When I think of team player, that's those people who sit around and go to jail for somebody else because y'all kept doing the same thing. Now, will I work with a team? Absolutely. Can I work with a group? Yes. Did you ask me I'm a team player? Heck no. So that was the second thing that started bothering me. Well, that was the first thing, but I didn't say anything. But I watched this, I read the script, I'm like, nah. And then I'm going, wait, no, you know what? This is really starting to bother me. So I found a workaround when I saw it. And I started saying halftime prices. Well, for halftime prices, you should speak with the director. Because what we're told is, well, I didn't start saying, well, what we're told to. That came a little bit later. As I started to just start to crumble, it was too many hacks at the bottom of my tree. I said, well, that's a great question for the director, or ask the director about halftime. The information that I have to give to you is, and I would tell them the full-time prices. Now, some parents would be like, oh no, oh no. And then we had a couple of ignorant ghetto people. That's the most ghetto S I've ever heard of. And I'm sitting there going, you're the most ghetto person on the phone. Some of these prices were, and I kid you not, I kid you not, 450. I found one, I think the highest was $500 per week. Why in the world would you spend upwards of almost $600, $500 a week? The lowest I saw was like 160, and that was Midwest. Guys, you have been blessed out there in the Midwest. Midwest and Southwest. That was the lowest I ever saw, was like 160, 170. The usual amount is about 280 something, 300. That was mostly the base rate going up to upwards of 500. And I'm sitting there, I couldn't rack my brain around because it started getting on my last nerve. And like I told you about the California people, and I think the California people are the ones who broke me. You're going to pay how much? And so I'm reading this, and I'm annoyed, going, "Whoa! Hi, I'm looking for see if you have any space for an infant. Okay, what's the birthday? I'm sorry, do I need to give you that? Yeah, fool, you want your kid in school? Okay, I didn't say that, but I thought that." And I would say, well, I have to generate. Well, there 1 year, and then it would go on with whatever. Then it was a few other. I would like to get. I've been looking all around. Yada, 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 right? So then we get continue with the people. And this is what I'm getting. How old is the infant? 4 weeks. 6 weeks. 5 weeks. We had people who were calling who were not going to have their children until a few months later and was thinking about putting their kid in school the next year. Some didn't blink at paying $400 a week. Others was like, that's a little too rich for my blood. Or we get the ones who don't want to pick up the phone when they do pick up the phone going, yeah, I'll reschedule. And you click hang up on you. I'm like, you know what? You should just hung up from the beginning. And then the ones who apologize when they say, I'm sorry, but I know I was supposed to go on a tour, but I found something that's a little bit less. Y'all, after I was broken, I'm like, why are you apologizing for doing what's best for your family? Yeah, it was getting to that point for me. So I'm sitting here and I'm getting annoyed at this crazy time that we're in, where young women are just popping out the baby, dropping it off to somebody else who they don't know before the kid could even read, write, scratch, fart, wipe their own butt, and they are willing to drop this child off with some stranger. And I was looking at quality reports on some of these places. Some of them didn't even have a quality, like, number quality report. Some had three. But my job was to get a tour. This is what the company wanted you to do, to make sure that you got a tour for them. And if you got two tours, that was like you got 100 or whatever the whole ratio of, not upsales, because they didn't call it upsales, that's for the other group, whatever conversion rates. So if you got two, then you got 200 conversion rate. By the end of the week, you're supposed to have X amount of conversions. By each day, you're supposed to have X amount of conversions. I wasn't playing the stupid math game. As someone explained it to me, one of my media supervisors, is that it works like baseball stats, and they use the same sort of conversion mathematics for baseball stats. Like, if homeboy didn't get any hits this week, then, well, his stats are going to drop down, like he ain't the best ball player. But then next week, he can knock them all out the park. And I'm sitting there going, so I'm looking at him at one of these meetings, right? One of those, how you doing your work this week and how you're not doing, where we need to get you better at. So by the end, we're now in a month. And it comes, I know I'm talking too fast for some of you guys, but I'm looking at the time. And we're going to see a movie tonight. We're going to see The Expendables. And Hannah gets off at 6, so she'll be walking through the door soon. Or not soon. So, and I'm cooking, as I told you, at the same time. So I said, so he looked at me. He said, yeah, I know, it's wrong. I said, no, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. The stupidest thing I've ever heard. How in the world are you going to use that to track if someone's doing it? And I'm like, you know what? I can't, man. I can't sit here and play this tour game. My job, as I understand it, this is what I said, is I know we work for that client, but I'm here to help the parents. And that's the first thing I'm doing, is focusing on the parents. I'm here to serve them. And you know, if you ever got me on the phone, the first thing I said to you was like, how can I serve you today? Especially if it was an incoming call. So So that's where things started getting a little crazy. You know, I had to get a tour. And one day, it was like 1 week, 3 days straight, I got no tours. No one answered the phones because no one was answering the phones. There was no conversion rate. So my numbers dropped way under 80 down to the danger zone. Down to all the way down to 60, 50 or whatever else. I'm just like, I can't be living like this. This is BS. Oh, I didn't tell you, God. It was $10 an hour. That's always getting paid, $10 an hour. So I'm like, this is way too much stress for no pay. But then I'm like, okay, one of us have to leave. If I leave, I take the car with me. She's going to have to try to, you know, because we were going to both do the work from home thing. It never happened because we needed to have a working internet. And since we're inside a hotel, it's an open internet. I'm like, well, this ain't ours. It's not. So we never jumped on that 6 weeks after. Otherwise, we could have been in this room just doing it from here. So we stay. And I'm like, okay, if I quit, I take the car. If she gets a new job, that's fine. I can work around her. Early in the year, like February, I joined or I signed up for, I don't know what you want to call it, to be a driver for DoorDash. I dashed one day and said, yo, this is crazy. I'm hustling up and down the block. The person didn't even give me a tip, but that's okay. I'm just like, that time frame is crazy. So then I saw another one, which was Instacart. I'm like, I could do Instacart. I don't know how long they give you to shop for the food, but it's longer than the 5 seconds to get to the store and back. And I'm like, that sounds to me like I'm doing something else. You know, it's not like DoorDash, I'm dropping off your munchies to the dorm for these people who were getting high the night before. But, you know, Instacart, the reason why I appreciate it, and I signed up for them back in April, just before I turned 60. And so, but I haven't driven for them yet. And I said, well, let me go out and see if I like this. It may have been May. So let me go see if I like this, because I'm not liking this job, and I can always switch and go do that. The reason why I like Instacart was the idea of being able to, and my daughter does this with Walmart. I've done it. We did it when my wife was working and I had to work late before she died. And, you know, we ordered some food and had someone drop it for us home because we couldn't get to the supermarket. I said, what a great service. When my wife died, I used the same thing from Stop and Shop because it was just me working. Sometimes I had to work late if there was a big election coming on and I had my daughter at home who was 13 by herself. And I would just order food and have it dropped off before I went to work. And then she would put stuff away. So that's why I love the idea of Instacart, is that I'm actually doing a really good service for someone who may not have the time to go shopping or who is too sickly to go shopping or something else. And I get to walk through the store, get their food for them, and then drop it off. So I'm still waiting to do that. I think that's what I'm going to do in between the two jobs that I'm working on right now. And so the question was, okay, if I did something like that, if I was driving, which was an idea before we got here, then I could work around my daughter's schedule. I can drop her off, go do what I need to do, come back, go pick her up. And I actually just heard my New York accent come out. Wow. I go around and I can drop her off and then I can come back. And Bob's your uncle. So that's still in the works. So it just got really, really crazy for me. And I was just sitting there and then I'm looking at some other stuff that we had to do. And I just said, you know what? I can't do this. You know, I didn't lie. But then it was the other part. I'm like, well, now I'm deceiving these people. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do the whole deceiving people. And it was boring. You know, after the first 2 days or half a day, after 3 hours, no one's picking up the phone. You're not really getting a tour, or you get a tour, you get two tours, or you get a double, you get a triple. You know, you put that inside the little group chat and they go, yay, in the group chat, and you get up and you go play cornhole, which I never did. I sit at my desk. I'm like, listen, I come to an office to work, punch out, go home, not to play games. But that's what makes the day go by, because the place is boring. It was a meat locker as well. It was extremely cold. So I couldn't get past deceiving people, the cold, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take being inside. I come from out of this room, just like we left the Bronx, because everywhere we were, it was dark, buildings everywhere. The apartment that we were in only had light because we had a large enough apartment where light went all the way around. So I come out of the room in the dark, I get in the car, I drive to the office 5 minutes away, and I sit in that office for 6 hours because I couldn't do 40 hours. I just said, I'm going to do 60. I'm going to do 30 hours of work and let her do the full time and let's see how I like it. Well, we all know that I didn't like it. And then I'm just sitting in the dark and it's freezing. And when my break came, I was like, my first week, I sat inside the cafeteria with Errol talking. I'm like, I can't. I've been hearing people and phone ringing in my ear for 6 straight hours. I would go out to the car and stand in the sun and praise God for the sunshine over my head, which is one of the reasons for leaving New York, to go where I could see the sun. And that's what I did. $10 an hour. Couldn't stand lying or deceiving. That's not how I wanted to be. The nasty trend of young people just dropping off their kids was driving me nuts. But it definitely was. The pay wasn't doing anything. It didn't pay anything. It didn't really help with much. It barely helped with gas. And so there was that. And it was the mindlessness of the job. You hear how Hannah was feeling about it today in just a couple of days. And so last week, not only did I quit, but our immediate supervisor, he quit. He told her the day I didn't come in on Friday, you know, tell your dad that so-and-so said, I'm leaving. Things are changing around here. I don't like what's happening. I don't like the things that's going on. Because they did some real shady stuff to us the last couple of weeks, like 2 weeks. And my daughter got the grunt of it. And over some group chat, you know, what do they call it? Teams at work. And if she feels like it, then someday we'll do a part two kind of this, and it'll be about her, and we'll discuss about that stuff with her. This is getting really long, but it's been a very, very long time since I spoke to you guys, so please bear with me and hang in there. So And I thank you and I appreciate that you even clicked on to this podcast today. There's a whole lot of talking heads out there and you chose to listen to me today. So there was so much of that going on. And just being confined, not seeing the sun, I didn't like the cold. And I started to realize something about myself that I learned working at the Board of Elections. I don't like being in the office. I don't like being in a cold office. Now, I like dressing up. But here, what they call business casual was not business casual. There was people showing up in their jeans and a t-shirt and something else. And if you know me, and see, that's another thing. You can't put, because I don't respond well. Well, I do respond well. It's just not going to be the one you like. You can't put a, not a limit. What is that thing called? A rule. I don't know if it's a rule. No, let's just use the word rule so I can get on with it. You know, you're going to have rules for me and tell me I need to be here on time. I need to dress a particular way, but you don't dress a particular way. You don't carry yourself as this and that and the other. I lose all respect for you. All respect for you. Then I don't respect nothing that I'm doing. And I lost that like 2 weeks in. Like, yo, no, we lying to people. And you still good with this? But, you know, that's not me. So I said, if I'm going to sell something, I'd rather sell insurance. That's something I believe in. That's something I've used. And I know that that helps people. And it helps people, you know, learn about money and stuff. And so, you know, I'm looking into that as a little bit. I hadn't had the time because I would have to take two different classes. I'd be studying for my license. And then I had to deal with stuff at work. And again, anything that I could remember to do, like call the doctor, make some doctor's appointments, or do something else, I didn't have access to a pen and paper. So I had to try to remember that until my breaks and then try to write stuff down. So I'm walking around here. We're both of us. Around here, like, you know, we got some sort of dementia with notes of all the things we need to do. And we just post them on the car around the house. So when we get home, we can pick them off and take care of them. It was crazy. It was driving me nuts. So, yeah, I learned that I didn't like it, but I had to stay there because my wife died. And then the year after, between 2019 and 2020, I drove myself crazy because I didn't have the job, didn't know where money was going to come from. I knew I can dip into my savings, but it drove me crazy. And I just got really, really bummed out about it. And so this time around, I learned real quick. By the end of 2019, I decided I'm just going to take a break from looking for a job. I'm just going to relax. Let me hit the gym and can just continue traveling and doing things that I like to do just to have a breather from all the past 4 years I was doing. And so it took me 4 months to get that here. The beginning of this week, I got real bummed out. And then I thought, you know what? No, we went through this in 2019. So I got out of that real quick. It took a day. And after that day, I dropped Tanner off and I went and I took a hike. And I hiked 3.5 miles that day. And I enjoyed that. I was in the sun and it was beautiful. I relaxed. And I posted on Instagram, which I hadn't done in a long time. And I told the people that, hey, I quit my job. And a person said to me, and she said, you know, I know it's scary and some other stuff. And then the next time she came around and said, you know, their family praying for us. It's a family we follow on YouTube. It doesn't really matter. But she said this, you look happy. And I held on to that for the rest of the day. When Hannah came home, I said this to her. And she said, yeah. I said, yeah, she's right. Not only I may have looked happy to her, but I was a heck of a lot happier. I didn't try to con these women. I didn't have to sit here and listen to this stuff. And you want to hear something crazy? I'm probably going to cut this off and then come back on and tell you about the crazy news stuff. And I'll start out with one that definitely connects to all the things I just said. So that's the whole story of why I quit. That's the background about some other stuff. But hang on. So, a week later. You know what? It may not have been a week later. I know a few people are just talking about it now, but I think it was like at the end of last week. I think it was the day that I didn't go in. In the Bronx. In the Bronx, there was a story that came out. And I said, you see? A story that came out about this young kid, I think the infant's name is Nicholas Dominici, or it could be Dominici Nicholas, I think it's Nicholas Dominici. I think he was about 1 year old, and it happened Friday. He died Friday from exposure to fentanyl. Now, from what I hear about the story, they had some sort of skill or something like drug dealers have in his house. This kid died of fentanyl. I think there was like three other children who are hospitalized behind this. This all happened in a daycare center. Now, I know this daycare center. Or should I say, I know of this daycare center company. It's that particular company, and there's another one that's all over the Bronx. Now, these daycare centers are in home. So you take someone to their home. They pass all whatever whatever rules or, I forgot the word I want to use here, in order to get their license to do these things. My daughter had her child in one, what's his name? I was about to say the puddle jumper. Oh my gosh, what do we call him? A little hiking buddy. The Energizer. He was a baby. And I was watching him at one point. She was going to work. She decided to go send him somewhere else, or whatever it was. And came home, he had a little bruise. They had to have this discussion. So she saw another little thing. She's like, you know what? Nah, I'm done. I gotta take him out. We gotta have this talk. So she talked with the person. And unfortunately, my daughter was very uncomfortable actually talking to this person, saying something. The person also ran the Girl Scouts out there in the South Bronx that Hannah was in at that time. Well, not that time, but before that. And so it was a little funky air when this all landed and the dust was settled. So my grandson came out of there, the firstborn. He was out of there. And I think she put him in somewhere else. Now, my daughter was raised in a home where there was always somebody at home. Now, her and her siblings, they all put their kids in daycare and everything else, you know. That's that whole generation. And that generation is like, I'm like, you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. You don't just pop out a baby that can't talk for herself, fend for herself, or take care of anything. A nanny freaking cam is not going to do anything. You can have your nanny cams in your house. They can have cameras inside the classrooms, like the places we were trying to sell people on. And some of them didn't even have it in there. They would say they were. And that's why I'm just like, I can't anymore. You're telling me? And the guy's like, it's in the script. I'm like, it's not in the script. The direct number that we were telling these parents was never in there. So when I set them up with a tour, they never had access to the school itself. Some schools used the app and some schools had pictures or video cameras in their live streaming. And I'm supposed to read you this script and tell you that it's in there. And I know for a fact that there weren't any. Because I would talk with some of these irate parents and, hey, talk to me. You know, I would say, talk to me, like, I have that type of face. And when people hear me on the phone, they start telling their entire life, trust me. So, and I would hear the horror stories. I'm like, this is crazy. So, my daughter had to deal with that. And so she got him out of there and they're doing something else. And that's a whole generation. But when I raised my kids, it was always, you know, here's the thought. And then when we homeschooled and people are like, you can't do this to school board. I'm like, let me tell you something. I'll get to what I would say in a second. So I'm sitting there going, why would you do that to your child? We didn't even let our kids go spend the night with anybody until they were able to walk and talk and say, X did this or X did that. There was no spending the night sitting on somebody's lap or nothing else. Because both men and women are predators. Both men and women could sexually hurt your children, or they could physically hurt your children because they whack a dudes out of their daggone mind. It doesn't matter. It may be that more men would do that than women, but trust me, they're out there. So, especially in these daycare centers. So when I heard that, I'm sitting there going, you see? this is what I've been saying. You know, I tried to encourage, I know I wasn't supposed to, it was recorded online. I tried to encourage some of the women who were able to listen, like, well, you know what? It's a good thing that, you know, there's no space. It gives you a little bit more time. And it's, yeah, you know, we're thinking about, yeah, maybe I should wait till he's 3 months old. I'm sitting there going, nah, lady, you need to wait till that child 5. But, you know, those who would listen, because that's about all I can push at that moment, was, anyway, so for without kids growing up, I'm a latchkey kid from the 70s. So I would come home, there's nobody home. I come in, use the latch, get in, close the door. There's nobody home, help me with my homework or nothing else, or do something else. So I didn't want my kids to have to go through that. My wife had some other issues with her. And so it was like, you know, it'd be better if somebody was over there. So we never had money. We raised 6 kids together. And one was always working while the other one was in school or doing something else. And then when it was my time to go back to work, Cheryl was finished up in school, but she was still working in school because she was a teacher at the time. And then at one point, we were both going to be going to work. But at that point, Hannah was already past 12 years old, and the older kids were already older, moved out, and some were getting older, about time to move out. So it was time now that we can do that without an issue, and the kids could definitely walk and talk and say something. You know what I mean? So it's just horrifying to see that this is what a younger generation is choosing to do. And I've heard argument, well, we both have to have jobs. No, you don't. No, you don't. Part of family planning is not going to Planned Parenthood and killing a kid. Part of family planning is sitting down, talking before you get married, talk about how many kids you want, talk about what you can do, wait that first year, establish yourself as a company, as a couple, another company, and get your money if you didn't already have that before you got married, and get that. Spend time knowing one another in your first year before you build your family. And then, if you both were working, you might want to say, let's take off the first 4 or 5 years of the life of that child so that when they get into school, they are able to talk and take care of themselves. We homeschool our kids. I will tell you about homeschooling to up the wazoo. That's a good thing, because as I was saying about taking the kids out of school, it's like, listen, you may do some harm in trying to raise your child and teach them, right? Or you can do better. In my case, what I'm thinking for all of you is that you can still do better. And you know what you want for your child. You know what you want to teach your child. But I'm sorry, you just drop off your kid to somebody else. And then the tragedy of the fentanyl happens. The tragedy of the women and the men who I was talking to who was looking for the higher up. And because some craziness happened at one of those schools that we were pitching to them and everything else. I'm just sitting here. If you just said one of us stay home or one of us work at night if 2 of you had to work and someone work from something else. Or you switch a job or career to maybe I can work from home thing so that you could be around your child until they're at the age of where they would be able to speak to you and let you know when danger has come along. And so I had to sit there for 4 months and listen to that, knowing the horror stories. And then the day that I decided I'm not going in and I'm probably going to quit when I come in on Monday, that story comes out. And I'm like, see, I don't know why this trend is happening right now, but these young ladies and these young fathers need to think very seriously about these decisions about their families and their children that they're raising. And speaking of decisions, terrible segue into this because I got to get out of here. I just saw a text roll across my screen. She's on her way coming in, so the door may open up and make all the noise, and we got to get to the theater. Mitch McConnell. Or Joe Biden, we already know. We already know about it. Mitch McConnell is the poster child for term dang gone limits. Now, if you know me and if you listen to this show before, you know I have been talking about term limits since day one. The minute I got into politics and was really learning some stuff, I'm like, term limits? I'm like, people? Like, really? Really? Chuck Schumer has been in freaking office before me. I'm like, before I got out of my 20s. Biden has, I heard someone, he was saying to him and Mitch McConnell have been friends, or well, whoever it was, he was talking to, they have been in politics since, for 50 years, they've been working together out there, 50 freaking years? I just popped on the scene 10 years, and they spent my entire lifespan in politics. That's not how the founding people, the founding fathers started this world, this country. That's not supposed to happen. There should be term limits. You should not be able to just run up in there. And I'm not just talking about the presidency. I'm talking about all of the jobs. A term limit, you get out, you go home and deal with your business. You go back to your farm like they did in the early days or whatever it is. Then you get to apply for that job again by running for office after a time period. At least you need to take off a year or two before you should be able to apply. Now, I'm going to go a step further because Mitch McConnell, what's that dude, Fetterman, I don't really care. And Biden, what's her name from Castle Grayskull from California, the black woman Democrat is like, yo, she's, get the bag of bones up out of here. That's like a bag of dust. Someone did a thing, I think it was a TikTok, and they were adding up the ages and just listing up all the ancient people that are still in office in the House of Representatives. And that's not of all of Congress, by the way. Now, here's where I'm going to go with this. I'm going to end you guys with this one, is that there should be a maximum on how old you can be. There is a minimum. You can't just be like 20 years old and run for president. I think you have to be at least 30 or something like that. 30 or 40 to run for president. Okay, that sounds good. Well, why can't I? Because anytime after that, when you're 20s, you're wackadoo. Have you not seen what's been happening since for the past 20 years? And then all the crazies that popped out since 2015 and 14? You got all these wackadoos teaching your kid right now. I'm teaching them how to be gay even right now. No. Oh, heck no. 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 So since there's a minimum just for, I don't know about the other groups in politics, but there's a minimum to run and to be a president. There should also be a maximum that you can be in office. Think about that. If you can early retire, and if retirement is, what did they move to, 70, 72, right? Early retirement is 62. Then after that is 67's retirement, and then full retirement age is 72 years old. Joe Biden is not only old, but the man is falling apart. Mitch McConnell is dead on his feet. Fetterman, brain ain't working. He might be younger, but still. You need to be not only healthy, mentally healthy, everything else. I mean, these people are in charge of, just like a mommy and daddy are running a family. You would hope that they would be healthy, that they're taking care of themselves, they're eating right, they're exercising, so they could be around to see their kid grow up and not drop dead. These people should be at their peak of healthiness. So I say the cutoff age for any political job should be the retirement age. And I don't even know if I wanted to go as far as 72. I think at 72 should be the cutoff of that you were even in office. So if you ran at 62, then if you can get in there the next 10 years, you good. That should be the cutoff. But I would actually put that 62 or 76. No, 62 or 67 should be the end of that. Because at that point, you run the risk of all sorts of ailments and everything else happening, and then you run the risk of them not being at their healthiest in their peak. So my time is up. I think we've been talking here for over an hour, at least an hour and a half. I thank you for listening. You can go ahead and pause and come back and do whatever. I should have said that before we started, right? So we need to get out of here to go see, speaking of some old people, go see Expendables 4 and watch some old action heroes. But that's okay. They're acting. They're not running the country. Mitch McConnell, Biden, Fetterman, and all the rest of them should not be there. I will repeat this again. If we have a minimum number age number to run for president, which is around 35 to 40, there should be a maximum that you were in office. And I say, let's start the bidding at 62, early retirement age. Now you out. Now you out. You got a good time frame between 40 and 62. If you want to stretch it out a little longer, make it 67, 72, 80. No. That is it. So that's it. That's all the crazy news that I have time to jump on here and tell you about. Now you know why I quit my job. Now you know about all the other stuff, deceiving and everything else. Now you know why that stuff bugged me, because when Friday came and I wasn't there, fentanyl happened and some kid in the daycare died at 1 year old. It's crazy, people. I know you don't want to hear this. Raise your own kids. Let's get these term limits. Let's think long and hard about all the things that we can do. And I hope that you find that for yourself. If, like I said about me with my job, you know, just being real slow trying to figure out, you know what, this is not for me. I don't really like the offices and everything else. I mean, I spent my childhood running around the street and playing out back and doing stuff. I've always enjoyed freedom. As I said to you earlier about, you know, I feel so much freer and grounded when I'm in the car just driving, taking a long drive or camping or hiking. So, but yeah, I know it was a lot, but it's been over a year. And I thank you for listening to me rattling on for over an hour. I've forgotten how to end this. I should have listened to an old podcast, how we did all this other stuff. But God bless you. And I hope you come back. I hope I got some more for you in the coming days and weeks. Because there's a lot on my brain, a lot happening right now. So maybe next time, like I said, we'll get Hannah here and you can hear about her first job experience. It is way past a lot of time. So, how do I end this? Love one. I don't remember. You know what? I'll see you around. I forgot how we ended this. I think it how was like Jesus said, it was something because it was from a Bible verse. Right. We're all Americans. So just remember to just love one another. I can't stress that enough. I cannot stress that enough. We are all Americans. We are all human beings of one race, which is a human race. So please, please, please love one another.